Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, February 17th, 2020, President's Day, 2020, Washington's birthday, all that kind of stuff. We'll get back to that in a minute. First, some anecdotes and how things have changed and how crazy things are getting. It used to be used to be you could work on stuff. Some of us remember those days. My first pickup was a 69 Ford with a 360 and a factory 4-speed that had enough room on either side of what is, by today's standards, a big block. Back then, you would kind of go, well, I'm not sure. Okay. But had enough room on either side of the block, the V8 on either side of the V. You could stick a person in there and just about close the hood. There was plenty of room to work on stuff. It wasn't always easy. Everything wasn't always super easy. There were some interesting angles, but generally speaking, that was kind of the way things were. I would say engineered to some extent to be maintainable, particularly by the owner, not to have to take it into a maintenance shop. When you start thinking about these things, just think about, you know, when I said earlier, people don't grow or make their own stuff anymore. Think about how much of your life you spend just trying to, you know, just in the acquisition of things for maintenance and things that, you know, people used to sort of take care of on their own in many cases, or they might barter things with one another. It wasn't uncommon, and it wasn't that long ago. Now it's getting further. But, you know, I mean, I saw it 30, 40, 50 years ago. It wasn't uncommon. And it seemed people were generally better off, generally happier. They were more sociable. They were more considerate toward one another. Generally speaking, that's my impression. How much of that has to do with my own maturation or aging or whatever? How much of that is attributable to the Mark Twain syndrome, so to speak? You know, a tendency for a naive, idealistic young person to turn into a grouchy old curmudgeon because of the way things are changing. And even Mark Twain talked about that. Oh, here come the Fabian socialists. Look out. Same things were better, at least in my impression, when people were doing that. Able to work on their own stuff. And look at the pride of Detroit that is still paraded at, you know, the little summer festivals and things, particularly in the small towns across America. Things that you could actually work on, things that actually had some material that wasn't like a waste product or fiberglass or plastic or whatever. Something you could actually do something with. And those vehicles, you know, I mean, I've joked with someone who she and her husband, who passed away not too long ago, owned a very reputable body shop, and talking about, you know, the things of today versus the things back then when they started their body shop 40 years ago. And, you know, I joked, and these days, if you hit something, you hit like a deer, for example, forget it. It's totaled. Whatever it is, it's totaled. Car, truck, whatever. Ford's not even making cars anymore, right? But it usually gets totaled because it's a throwaway thing anyway. And these things aren't supposed to last 50 years now. We're going to move to the next thing. Electric things, flying things. We're going to be like the Jetsons. It's going to be great. So we got to give the fossil fuel things and Detroit and all of that the curling release, right? So you compare those things that are made today to the things that were made 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago. And if you hit something, you hit a deer, people go, did we hit something? What was that? Was there something in the room? I don't know. And oftentimes, honestly, you might bust a grill or something, which is plastic, but that's about it. Almost like you're driving around with a cow catcher on the front. Because it's actual metal. Those things weren't totaled in those instances. So, again, I digress. Back to the story. There were a couple of stories. One, just colorful anecdote. A certain family member of about high school, nearly college age, had an escort, Ford Escort, and drove it beyond the point of no oil for about 2 weeks, I guess. And something happened, wasn't running right. Turned out the head gasket was blown. So I asked, when was the last time you changed the oil or checked the oil? You got to check the oil in those things? Huh. Yeah, especially when it's high miles, might be burning a little. Yeah. A good idea. It was amazing. It did run for quite a period of time with no oil in it. Amazing. So we were replacing the head gasket, and I had this certain family member holding a flashlight because the operation took quite some time. It was performed in the driveway like all good home mechanic operations are. So it got late. It's getting dark, and I had this person holding the flashlight so I could feed the head bolts in where they needed to be, and I would position a flashlight and say, okay, hold it right there, don't move. And as I would go to drop a head bolt in, this person would point the flashlight quickly somewhere to some side and say, what was that? Did you hear that? Yeah, just hold the flashlight right here, don't move. What was that? So we did that for a while. It took a while. Things like that started to dissuade me from those kinds of projects. And the last one, the one that was the straw that broke the camel's back, was I used to do certain things for a certain other family member on a fairly regular basis. And there was a time that this person's car just died. And this person parked it on the side of the road and said, I don't know, it just died. So I usually ask, what happened before? Did you notice anything? Did anything unusual occur immediately prior, shortly prior? No, can't think of anything. Just died. So we towed it back to this person's house, his family member's house, and I proceeded to tear everything apart. I tore it apart inside out more than twice and checked virtually everything. Nothing seemed to be the problem. And figure it out. And this went on for about 2 weeks. And finally, the only thing that was left was the ECU. But, at that point, I'd never heard of anything going wrong with those. I mean, it does, but it seemed at that point it was such a remote possibility. It couldn't possibly be that. Or the ECM, whatever you want to call it, electronic control unit or module. And so I figured, there's nothing left. I pulled everything else apart. Put it all back together twice. Nope, nothing. So I took that in, had it tested, and sure enough, it was bad. Came back, installed a new one, and that was, you know, a 30-minute operation that I wasted 2 weeks on. So I was explaining to this certain family member what I had replaced that fixed it, and this family member said, well, where is that located? And I said, it happened to be under the passenger's front seat in this automobile. And I said, yeah, it was bad. You know, apparently something happened, don't know what. So under the passenger seat, and this family member said, oh, you know, right before the car died, as we were riding around, this person who was in the car with me, this passenger, spilled one of those big gulp 7-Eleven cups full of Coke on their side of the car, which undoubtedly shorted it out, which was why I asked if anything unusual happened. And so that is just sort of the common experience, at least in my experience, and that has dissuaded me from doing those kinds of things ever since. You just never seem to, seems like the answer to what happened question is always after the thing. It's, oh yeah, you know what, that reminds me. Again, I digress. So the big one that I've encountered recently is this thing that even the manufacturer calls the stretchy belt. Stretchy belt? It sounds like a child's toy. But that's what they call it. It's an awful invention. And I can't find anyone who can give me a legitimate reason why you would go away from a belt tensioner. And even those have gotten difficult to reach and effectively manipulate in more recent years, more late model vehicles. But they're still manageable. The belt tensioner, you know, so you run a serpentine belt around whatever accessory, pulleys, and the tensioner, simple. You know, basically apply some leverage, release the tension, remove a belt, install a belt, reapply the tension, you know, let the belt tensioner do its thing, a spring-loaded deal. Simple. Now we have the stretchy belt. And there are certain automobiles, like this one that I've worked on recently, that you can't tell me it wasn't engineered specifically when, you know, this is a power steering belt in particular, and all of the frame rails converge at a point that is directly over this particular pulley. So you, even if you pull away all the wheel housing, you know, the plastic shroud, and pull the wheel off and everything, you still don't have direct access to this pulley. And there are a number of bolts that just curiously, there's one bolt in particular that sits above or behind, I should say, the sort of recessed behind the crankshaft pulley on which the steering wheel pulley rides. And the belt for the steering wheel pulley has to fit beneath that recessed bolt behind the crankshaft pulley. And there are some other bolts that are curiously placed. So, you know, you see all of those things and you just think, how can you argue that coming from the era that we came from, that I have experienced, some of us have experienced, seeing coming out of the 50s, you know, the era of satisficing and the P51 Mustang that, you know, my understanding is sort of the namesake of the automobile and these kinds of things. Coming forward to now, you know, the Germans do it and that's a whole different deal. But this stuff, it's hard to argue, I think, that maybe we could move that bolt over a little bit. So, you know, and we could just move this over just slightly. Great, that's perfect. No one's going to want to do that on their own. It's going to be cost and time prohibitive. You're going to need special tools. you're not going to be able to reach it anyway, certainly not unless you pull this shroud off, and that's only seven of these little pins, but you know what? Who's going to want to do that? Who's going to have a special tool that they feel confident doing that with? And installing this belt, a stretchy belt. Have you encountered these things? They're awful. Everyone I talk to seems to agree. The folks at the parts stores seem to agree. There is no useful purpose for it that is not satisfied by the old belt with the belt tensioner. What exactly does this belt accomplish that those belts did not? I don't understand. So, I think it's a curious thing. Stretchy belt. It's an awful, awful thing. You need special tools. And if that weren't bad enough, apparently they come in different sizes. So I broke one installing one because I'm thoroughly convinced it was too small. So that's fun. This is the brave new America we find ourselves in, unfortunately. So that's just a brief lament. That's an experience that I've had recently, and I hope you haven't had the displeasure, extreme displeasure of encountering these awful belts, but apparently they're in more and more vehicles. So I think it's pretty obvious why it would be a thing. You know, you used to be able to, again, you'd apply a little tension to a belt tensioner and call it good. Now, you have a passive drive and an active drive or pulley, and typically you feed the belt onto the passive pulley. And then the active pulley is probably the crankshaft pulley, and then you use a ratchet, for example, to manipulate the belt all the way on to the passive drive. Who's going to be able to do that? And in this case, the one that I'm talking about, it's the opposite. You have to feed it onto the active drive and then feed it onto the passive pulley secondarily, and from the bottom side, which when you think about it in terms of gravity and things, that just seems, not to mention the fact that you have no access. Very, very, very limited access, regardless of what you pull away. You still have the frame there sitting directly in front of this pulley. So 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, we didn't have that problem. We seemed to be able to engineer things that could avoid those dilemmas. And now with all of the computer technology and all of the amazing innovation and the iterative development that we've had for the last century, half century, we can't seem to avoid that? Curious thing. I don't think it's a coincidence. We'll be back to President's Day shortly here. When we come back, stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back.
Beyond your latest ad campaign.
Oh, goodness. So back to, you know, Manchurian candidates and so forth. The list, Mother Jones list, you know, the mass shootings database. This is just a, for whatever reason, sort of Manchurian candidate aside in my mind. Concerning President's Day. So where is the column for motive? Motive, means, and opportunity. Those should be columns. Motive, certainly. Where is the column for psychotropics? Was the suspect on psychotropics? Where is the column for hearing voices? Was the suspect hearing voices? What about the column for prior contact with federal agents and or informants? You know, we talked about some of this, things like, you know, there was the Orlando Pulse nonsense. He drove, two, three hours, go shoot up some club because he, well, we're not exactly sure. Spent a bunch of money. Stephen Paddock, you know, plans for a year, spends over $100,000 to just shoot some people right at the end of a concert in Las Vegas. Because why? We're not sure, but we're going to board up the room so no one has to think about that ever again. Kind of like we tore down the church almost immediately. Well, the FBI investigated and they said, no, nothing to see here. We painted the walls. Now we're going to tear it down. So there were stories like, let's see, this Washington Times, you know, so prior contact with federal agents and or informants. Well, Speaking of Omar Mateen, remember the story, New York Times, Orlando Gemman's wife breaks silence. I was unaware. Noor Salman says, I had no idea. Or the Washington Times article, Sadiq Mateen, father of Pulse gunman Omar Mateen, was FBI informant. The Intercept did an article on that. Father of the Pulse attacker Omar Mateen was an FBI informant. Did he convince the Bureau to stop investigating his son? That's some classic misdirection right there. Or did he feed the FBI a Manchurian candidate? Is he one of those kinds of guys? Lots and lots of these kinds of examples. No motive. Stephen Craig Paddock, you know, even the, like I say, the FBI's legendary BAU. No motive. We can read their minds. We can figure out what they were thinking. We know. Oh, in this case, no motive. So, let's see. One of the other ones we talked about, Esteban Santiago was the kid who went into the FBI field office up in Alaska and said, hey, I feel like the CIA is trying to make me watch videos, give me fight for ISIS and all that stuff. FBI says, maybe we should submit you for a psych eval. Give us your pistol and your kid. Okay, ship shape. You're good to go. Here's your pistol. And then he, you know, a kid who is linked to a CIA private contractor, you know, private military contracting firm, on a basically a minimum wage salary, flies through Minneapolis down to Florida just to unload a clip and then sprawl on the ground. And the good sheriff down there in Broward County, of course, says, we caught him in less than a minute and a half at the airport. How did you manage to do that? Amazing. So what happened at Parkland then? Why were you guys standing outside chewing the fat while officers from a neighboring city showed up? And what happened there, Sheriff? Kinds of things, you know, all these curious anomalies. You know, the army stuff is weird. Nicholas Cruz, same kind of thing. You know, a kid who the family he's staying with says can't run a microwave, somehow engineers and orchestrates this amazing Mission Impossible, including costume changes, including what one teacher, you know, says, why I saw SWAT gear, you know, I saw this, why are the police here? Body armor from head to toe. Who's this guy? Where did his stuff go? Was that in the Uber with him? The voices that told him to take an Uber? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you.
Welcome back. So, President's Day, and then we'll get into some headlines. We'll just get to this. Chuck Missler's latest piece, which I think is apropos, published yesterday. No, excuse me, 4 days ago, the 13th, day before Valentine's Day, Thursday the 13th. So back to Rome. I think this is fitting, especially when you consider, you know, the president's foreign policy advisors, the Philip Drew administrators, the Stuart Chases, the author of The New Deal. Is that not weird? It's an established fact of history. Stuart Chase was the author of the book The New Deal and the administrative policy. Is that not weird? Who was Stuart Chase? Who was Edward Mandel House? Who was Walter Lippmann? Who are these guys? You know, I mentioned recently Peter Thiel's interview. The Uncommon Knowledge interview. Interviewed live on stage in front of the members of the Mont Pelerin Society. The World According to Thiel. The Uncommon Knowledge series over the Hoover Institution. The World According to Thiel, February 11, 2020. And I intend to talk about that at some point. This is a guy who is very influential. Co-founder of PayPal. Palantir, Facebook investor, you know, the first outside investment, $500,000 to Facebook, you know, non-CIA, I guess. I don't know, maybe that was. LinkedIn, SpaceX investor, you know, the Thiel Fellowship founder, the guy who is, you know, again, the Founders Fund contingent, the Bruce Wayne Club. But he has this, you know, the Straussian moment. And published that again last January 2019. The Straussian moment. Peter Thiel, President, Clarium Capital. And this is an interesting thing to read these kinds of things from people who have the ear. This is not just someone who's spoken to someone who made it to the White House, but or who was installed, maybe we should say, but is influential. Presidential advisor. This guy writes some interesting stuff. You know, here from the Straussian moment. Straussian moment. That should get people thinking, who was Leo Strauss? Which Strauss? Leo Strauss. You know, he quotes Leo Strauss. Thoughts on Machiavelli. Natural right and history. Who was Leo Strauss? Interesting fellow, you know. If I, you know, I think Peter Thiel could write an essay if Machiavelli were a libertarian. That kind of thing. That's Peter Thiel, the Straussian moment. So he cites Alfred Lord Tennyson, his Locksley Hall, for I dipped into the future, far as human eye could see, saw the vision of the world and all the wonder that would be, saw the heavens fill with commerce. Again, Revelation 18, I digress. Argosies of magic sails, pilots of the purple twilight dropping down with costly bales, heard the heavens fill with shouting, and there rained a ghastly dew from the nation's airy navies grappling in the central blue. Far along the worldwide whisper of the south wind rushing warm, with the standards of the people plunging through the thunderstorm, till the war drum throbbed no longer and the battle flags were furled. In the Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World, there the common sense of most shall hold a fretful realm in awe, and the kindly earth shall slumber, lapped in universal law. What? So that's how he opens this Straussian moment. And then he writes, you know, it's the PNAC chapter 2. The 21st century started with a bang on September 11, 2001. In those shocking hours, the entire political and military framework of the 19th and 20th centuries, and indeed the modern age, with its emphasis on deterrent armies. Really? Maybe you should listen to what Wesley Clark had to say about that. Not so much. rational nation states. Again, public debates and international diplomacy was called into question. For how could mere talking or even greater great force deter a handful of crazy, determined, and suicidal persons who seemingly operated outside of all the norms of the liberal West? Yeah, that's one way to frame it. And what needed now to be done, given that technology had advanced to a point where a tiny number of people could inflict unprecedented levels of damage and death? But I think what's more provocative and curious is the fact that John Arquilla and David Ronfeld predicted this in 1996. Astonishing. 15 years prior. The Advent of Net War, published over at the RAND Corporation. 1996. Only 127 pages. And here is the summary. The information revolution is leading to the rise of network forms of organization with unusual implications for how societies are organized and conflicts are conducted. Net war, quote unquote, is an emerging consequence. The term refers to social, societal conflict and crime short of war, because, you know, that's low intensity operations, right? In which the antagonists are organized more as sprawling, leaderless, quote-unquote, networks than as tight-knit hierarchies. Many terrorists, criminals, fundamentalists, and ethno-nationalists are developing net war capabilities. A new generation of revolutionaries and militant radicals is also emerging with new doctrines, strategies, and technologies that support their reliance on network forms of organization. Net war may be the dominant mode of societal conflict in the 21st century. These conclusions are implied by the evolution of societies according to a framework presented in this RAND study. The emergence of net war raises the need to rethink strategy and doctrine to conduct counter net war, of course. Traditional notions of war and low intensity conflict as sequential process based on massing, maneuvering, and fighting will likely prove inadequate to cope with nonlinear, swarm-like information age conflicts in which societal and military elements are closely intermingled. Do you see how everyone's been playing catch-up since John Arquilla and David Ronfeld wrote this? And that was 1996, and they'd said they'd already been around talking about this for 2 or 3 years. At that point. So basically, as soon as the internet came online, you might say, these guys are globetrotting talking about the advent of net war. It's going to be everywhere. Low intensity conflict. Inadequate to cope, you know, our previous methodology is inadequate to cope with the nonlinear. That's a term we've heard used subsequently, huh? Swarm-like, information age conflicts. Never mind the fact that the military's sort of been training for this stuff along the way. The Army After Next and Army 21 initiatives, which correspond to other efforts, in particular are examples. And, you know, when you look at these, what they're talking about, it's the Al-Qaeda's. It's the, you know, it's the Operation Cyclone. You know, so the point is, how do they know? Well, because they know that these are the groups that have been created. So it's interesting that, I mean, I think it's a very provocative and curious fact of history that what Peter Thiel, a presidential advisor, is lamenting, what could be done? How could we know? And what needed to be done now? Given that technology had advanced to a point where John Arquilla and David Ronfeld predicted 15 years prior? Curious. Continue with this piece from Peter Thiel. The Straussian moment. The awareness of the West's vulnerability. Listen to this and think Speaking of President's Day, think about this person and this view, and this the person who holds this view holding sway and influence over the president. The awareness of the West's vulnerability called for a new compromise, and this new compromise inexorably demanded more security at the expense of less freedom. On the narrow level of public policy, there needed to be more X-ray machines at airports, more security guards on airplanes, more identification cards and invasions of privacy, and fewer rights for some of the accused. Overnight, the fundamentalist civil rights mania of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, which spoke in the language of inviolable individual rights, was rendered an unviable anachronism. Even as the debate over freedom and security gathered strength, whatever military force could be mustered was used to track down those responsible for the violence of September 11. Really? I thought we hadn't. You know, speaking of that list that Mother Jones maintains, what about that guy, the Pensacola Naval Base thing? Ahmed Mohammed al-Shamrani, a Saudi Arabian military pilot. Weren't 15 of the alleged, 19 alleged folks Saudi? And didn't they receive passports from a curious Jeddah consulate? Anyway, I digress. But we forget important things like that, you know, which is why guys like Toby Keith go and give concerts to Saudi dignitaries, an all-male concert. Nothing like understanding history, eh, Toby Keith? Even as the debate over freedom and security gathered strength and whatever military force could be mustered was used to attack, track down those responsible for the violence of September 11. Despite rapid mobilization, those efforts met with limited success. Rapid mobilization after the stand down, right? After the shuttling of would-be conspirators and suspects out of the country, right? After that, rapid mobilization. America's antiquated military, really? According to whom? Was not suited to fight such an enemy, for the enemy needed to be pursued not only in America or in a handful of terrorist camps in Afghanistan. Created by whom, by the way? America, your tax dollars, hard at work. Go read Anthony Sutton. But to the very ends of the earth, or William Bloom, or Peter Dale Scott, or Gary Webb, or Jonathan Quitney, or. Even worse, like the Hydra, the enemy proliferated so that for every slain jihadist, 10 more arose to seek martyrdom in perverse emulation. Yeah, except for when the Taliban tried to surrender, right? Remember that? 2017 Intercept article by Ryan Grimm, the Taliban tried to surrender and the U.S. rebuffed them. Now here we are. A reference to Anand Gopal's book, No Good Men Among the Living. Remember that? There was that. So, get it, you know, best enemies are those that, you know, Machiavelli, the prince, chapter 20, I think it is. Some say that a wise prince ought with craft to foster his own enemies so that when the time comes, he can put it down and his acclaim will rise higher, right? That kind of thing. So, even worse, like the Hydra, the enemy, and so the Hydra reference is curious too. The enemy proliferated so that for every slain jihadist, 10 more arose to seek martyrdom in perverse emulation. On the broader level of international cooperation and development, September 11 called for wholly different arrangements. The issue of unilateralism and of the institutions designed to provide a cover for unilateralism could be raised publicly by serious people for the first time since 1945. Much has been said elsewhere about the relative roles of the United States and the United Nations in the political sphere, but the underlying debates extend to even more fundamental issues. Yeah, how about those that Muammar Gaddafi raised? Why do certain countries have the liberty of attacking other countries and the Security Council turns a blind eye. What about that? Funny, silent thing there. We'll be right back.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Peter Thiel is an interesting character, and I'll tell you what, that interview with Peter Robinson, the Uncommon Knowledge Hoover Institution interview, The World According to Thiel, is an interesting latest installment. So I was reading from his Straussian Moment essay. And when you hear these things, this is, I mean, I would just call it warped. It's a warped view, in my estimation, of geopolitics. It's, or, at you know, maybe to be kind, it's myopic or underinformed or even uninformed. But I think that he knows better. And so it's curious, why then? Why? You have to wonder. And there's more, you know, going on. You read it and you just kind of, I mean, it leaves me scratching my head, the whole thing. So we'll get back to some of that stuff in a moment. Let's go to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, when you were reading that excerpt, I had a flashback of an old MASH episode where a newspaper man showed up at the base and someone had shot themselves in the foot and he painted them as a hero. You know, so you remember that episode?
Yeah, yeah.
He wound up wrecking a motorcycle, and he decided that it might not be a good idea to stretch the truth. That's what it sounds like. This sounds like not an essay, but a propaganda piece that's going to pay somebody something, you know, because it's going to sell. And people that think they're educated and intelligent are going to read it and say, yeah, this makes sense, when it's really nothing more than a propaganda piece to get people to go along with the war you shouldn't be in to begin with. So having said that, you know, I went away from the radio a little bit. I heard you talking about vehicles. So if you don't mind, I'd like to jump back 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
How about,
have you encountered a stretchy belt?
No, I have not. It sounds dangerous to me.
It's not something for morbidly obese. It's something that goes on vehicles, apparently. It's an awful thing.
Well, here's the thing. When I was a young man, you had three belts on a car. You had three V belts, one power steering, one for the fan, and, you know, one for the air conditioner if you had one. You had a nut and a bolt that you loosened, and you put a screwdriver in it, and you set the tension and tighten the bolt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then they came up with these automatic tensioners, and I hear the music.
Yeah.
I'll make it quick, I promise, when we get to the other side.
No worries. Stick around. Folks, we'll be right back. Third hour coming up right after the short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.